Hey everybody, welcome to Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. My name is Jay.
My name is Colleen.
I'm Suck It Up Buttercup and Buttercup and move on.
And welcome to the show. Yeah, Tommy, I'm sorry. I mean, I know you outer borough people.
Oh Colleen my God, included. Stop saying outer borough. You heard John Lovett say it, and now all of a sudden, all you want to do is call us bridge and tunnelers outer boroughs.
It's true, though. So you outer boroughers, you get to, like, being offended or being aggrieved upon.
First of all, I said it on Twitter before you said it out loud, and I have a timestamp to prove it, where I wrote on Twitter, guys, be easy on Tommy. He's from Long Island, and having a petty grievance is kind of our thing.
But, yeah, so Tommy, chill, bro. I didn't know. I don't know if Jack expected to get into something that heated right off the bat. On
I know. I'm stunned. I'm sucking up, Buttercups.
All right. So I am back in the studio. Thank you to John Norton for filling in for me.
Norton.
Yeah, John did a great job.
I heard. So if you guys like want to replace me with John, I guess that could be a thing. But
I guess we wouldn't have to change
always looking
the
for an out, aren't you?
Yeah.
No, I had to. I had a family emergency that I had to go to. And
you're
so
like those quitters
for
on Survivor.
What's that?
You're like those quitters on Survivor. I didn't know it was going to be this hard
to
podcast.
The cast members on Survivor, they only have to do like one season, maybe two for Boston Rob, seven. But for most, it's like one season and done. I'm like 12 seasons into this podcast, so I feel like I can quit at this point, right?
Yeah, but you had been voted out a long time ago, so you really can't compare it to Survivor.
This is very true.
Well, somehow Karishma's still in the game while I've been gone, and I guess that is kind of subsided.
She wasn't even mentioned. I know.
No, not mentioned. No confessionals.
You saw her there a couple times, but that was about it.
Actually, when we had that chat, the immunity challenge, and it's, you know, close between the two of them, my thought was like, oh my God, please, please let Vokai lose because I cannot deal with another like Karishma crying fest about going home. Because I like her, but like I can't deal with it anymore. But you know, whatever.
Karishma goes to the inn. Karishma goes to the inn,
which is bad for me. Like I need her to go. She's not going to win. So.
You don't know.
I thought I might lose one of my. I would lose mine today, Lauren.
I see. Now I think after this episode that we have two very clear winners' edits that have emerged. We have Jamal, who I think has the winner's edit up the wazoo.
Really? And you think Jamal has the winner's edit?
I do.
Okay.
And I think that Elaine also is, and I might be a little bit playing favorites since she's my winner's pick, but I think she's getting the fan favorite edit. She is. You think she's getting the out at four edit? I think she might be getting the out at four
edit.
Yeah,
I would see that more than
because everybody knows they can't beat her. They all keep saying it.
But why? Why? See, they keep saying it. So why? Because she's actually that good?
She's likable. She says funny things. She's better at the game than people are giving her credit for.
Winner's edit. I think that's the definite. I'm waving my hands in the air. I'm like the winner's edit fairy. I'm like,
I don't have her, but I'd be happy if she won. I don't care.
I love her. She's great.
I like her. She's good TV.
She is.
I just don't see her winning.
Honestly, I think that this episode of Survivor was in one of like the top 10 episodes, like from start to finish.
All time?
It was entertaining. It had a teachable moment that like actually was like a feel-good teachable moment. It had, you know, Sandra and Rob talking about things with people. It had Sandra and
also,
Rob.
Can we talk about Rob's like double-decker shelter that he was making? That was awesome.
They're not really staying there, right? Because I call BS on that. I feel like they're going back to a hotel.
I heard it might have been from Wiggler or Bloom that they are living in their own shelter.
Just literally the two of them.
That's what I heard, and you know Sandra snores, so
I did hear that.
But I've been saying this for the longest time. I never understood why the tribes build the shelter in one day, and never do anything to other unless they get a tarp from like the Chargers, get a tarp to cover the top. I never understood why they just give up. You're sitting around all day long doing nothing, and people
energy,
say, well, you got to rest for your challenges. No, you still have to keep going and moving.
Because I assume Rob and Sandra aren't having to, like, rough it out food-wise. So maybe it's – I could see it from a conserve energy kind of deal.
An hour or two a day, you could make a really nice shelter. And to me, a shelter, people forget that sleep is the most important thing. Well, mm-hmm. other than eating. You need sleep. And you have those storms that come in, they blow in. I was like, yeah, I would build me a cool shelter.
Well, Jack, you need to finally get on the show so you can
build a cool shelter.
Do all the things you said. I don't know why they don't do this.
Well, I would be voted out because people, I'd be stuck with the lazy millennials going, we're not used to working.
Whoa. As a millennial.
GFY.
I do not approve of that because I work very hard and Jay works very hard. So 2 out of 2 millennials on this podcast work hard.
All right. Yeah. But I'm talking about blue collar work.
What does that even mean?
Not white collar work.
Because we're waiting for the boomers like you to die and give us the blue collar jobs back. Just kidding.
You say that like you worked hammers and you worked on the car assembly line.
I was just kidding, guys.
Until you moved to North Carolina.
Do what?
You used duct tape to repair things until you moved to North Carolina.
That's all I could afford was duct tape.
No, yes, because hammers and nails are very pricey.
Yes, because all those blue-collar workers couldn't afford hammers and nails. Yeah, the narrative's a little skewed there, but that's all right. I know it's...
I'd be voted off because, you know, let's face it, millennials will, you know, I mess my computer.
What?
I don't have the internet.
You know, it's almost if I close my eyes and, like, really just bring myself to a place of, like, clearing everything, my mind, it's almost like Jack is from Long Island.
Oh my God, what's on my hand? Right, what's this bubble on my hand? It's called a blister.
You were born in the wrong time zone.
Am I gonna die from the blister? I can't take it.
Anyway, let's move on from Jack's
we're Gen X, okay?
Facebook, the dwelling bottom dwellers of Facebook shared postings.
But here's a preview for the Crazy Hank TV Survivor episode.
But let's get into...
Also, I totally just hit my teeth on the microphone. I'm so sorry. Multiple.
Typical millennial move.
I know!
Well, it's not.
I hurt my teeth.
Colleen is a beautiful person, but she has no lips and all teeth, so it's not that hard.
Okay, I don't know what you're implying there, but let's just get started.
Is she Frank Burns? Is that what you're saying?
But if before we get into that, I want to thank people that make this show possible. Our patrons over at patreon.com/JandJack. If you'd like to become a patron, become one today. Go to jandjack.com and click on the Become a Patron link. All right, Colleen.
Patreon.com/JandJack.
Yeah, good job. Thank you.
Okay, Lyro, day 15. Nora talks to Dean. Dean and Jamal think she's crazy. Jamal says getting her out is the highest priority. I agree. She is crazy. We talked about this last week.
If you're Nora, I think we talked about this last week. Don't you just try and fly under the radar and just stop?
No, we talked about it. She's like, has like the inability to do that.
I don't know.
Yeah, and that's where I feel, is she playing? I don't know if she's crazy enough to boot as some other ones are. So is this just the angle to kind of ride it till final three or whatever?
I think if you were going to make a list of players that were left, she would probably be like the number one on the crazy.
Yeah.
But she seems to be pretty good in the challenges.
Yeah.
Doesn't she? I mean, she seems to be holding her own in the challenges or even better.
Yeah. So you're right. She holds her own in the challenges and she's not a threat to win. So why get rid of her?
But the closer that they get to the merge, the easier she's going to be to cut.
Why though?
Because.
Even the merge, I guess, she has a risk to win immunity, but she's not gonna win.
Yeah.
She's not Michelle. You can just like.
I think she's getting the winner's edit.
Oh yeah, that's a very baby boomer's take of you, Jack.
I'm not one to watch this show. I'll just watch the edit.
Hey. I feel that's a multi-dimensional approach to watching a television show where you have to juggle several opinions and nuance all at once, which is a very millennial thing to do.
Oh, okay.
Yeah. Okay. Anyway. we go to Vokai. There's a tarantula or some kind of spider. I was like, hey,
did anyone see the spider?
No one did. It's much like I forget his name. Was it Dan or whatever? And his hidden idol in the the shelter.
Ben.
And his hidden idol in the shelter. We never saw.
I was thinking it was probably an idol, and she didn't realize it.
Oh my god, that would be hysterical. Speaking of spiders,
we found Ben's idol.
Jay, you were downstairs the other night, but my dad was here for the night, and there was this giant, like, fuzzy, big, huge spider in the garage, and I went to take the garbage out, and I was like, holy crap, what is that? And my dad was, like, right by the door, and I was like, Dad, can you come in here for a second? And, like, I showed him the spider, and he was like, whoa, you guys have some crazy in North Carolina. It was really funny. Anyways, all right, there's a tarantula, the group is split, they're going to discuss going to Rocks. Aaron tells Jason he's willing to flip and vote Elaine. We go to the reward challenge on day 15. Elaine has to sit out, but that means she gets to head to Island of the Idols, and Vokai wins the challenge by a hair. Which actually both of them were very close tonight.
Why was Aaron so willing to flip? You think he was just saying that?
No, I think he just didn't want to go to Rocks and he wanted to save his own self first.
But he kind of played that angle to the very end. And
yeah.
I wonder if it was just a play because, you know, he ended up going with Elaine there. So I do think it's a good question just for him. His story in this episode was interesting in that it seemed the whole time he was in on flipping against his tribe, but in the end he didn't. So I'm curious about his motivations there, because now that he is on him from the other side, even though it was going to be there regardless, but
I'm
curious.
I think honestly he did the math in his head. He stays with them, she uses the vote blocker or whatever, she still goes home, but then his teammates know that he's a traitor, and if his other teammates are looking to team up with the new teammates or whatever that he's betrayed them for, he's the easy next vote because they don't care about him. They're not willing to, like, whatever. They just want to keep the numbers, so they don't care which member of the old Vokai or what is it called? Lyro ends up, like, going home,
but,
right? As long as they keep the numbers.
But once he had this, he knew that she had the block, she could block a vote. Why keep playing it with the other team? I mean, you're just now you're putting a target on your back from
exactly.
Those three people.
Yeah.
So it didn't make sense why he kept going that way.
Exactly. Now, they could have gotten rid of her by all uniting against her, but that's stupid because they've got alliances on the other tribe.
Right. I mean, I understood Aaron's gameplay in the beginning because,
right.
You know, you don't, I wouldn't want to rely on Rocks because I'd be the one to grab the purple rock. So once he was told, I didn't understand why he kept going. Yeah. I'm in. It didn't make sense.
Yep.
Unless somebody had an idol and they could flip and he could go, yeah, I was with you the whole time. You know, it just didn't make sense. But anyway,
yeah, I agree. It just doesn't make sense at all. But
he overplays. I think that's his problem.
Yeah, that's true. He has since the beginning.
Yes, he does. He is our war dog.
Yeah,
but
no,
more
he's good at challenges.
Actually, can win challenges.
Yeah.
War dog would have been throwing the ball behind him.
Yeah.
That's very true.
Or he might not even been able to get it out of the cage. So
yeah. So we head over to Island of the Idols, and we find out as they're building a new shelter that Sandra snores at night, which I thought was hysterical.
I know we talked about it earlier, but that was a cool shelter.
Yeah.
It was.
Double-decker shelter, that's never been done before, right?
Not that I know.
No, but to be fair, they get, like, if they're staying there for real, which I kind of still call BS on, I feel like they're going to, like, a hotel at night, but they do have days by themselves.
They're probably at Ponderosa, right?
Yeah, something, right? But they do get days by themselves out there if they aren't at a hotel, right?
I guess so.
So they might as well build a shelter.
That's the same thing. I was thinking about the other tribes. You're just literally, they say they sit around 24 hours a day doing nothing.
Yeah, that's going to be redundant on the conversation, but I do see the benefit of trying to conserve energy for challenges and stuff like that because you aren't eating.
You're not eating, but you also have to keep your your body going, and you have to keep your muscles going.
Yeah,
depends.
That's
I think
true.
It depends. But if your body's eating itself, that could also be.
You don't have. I would say you have to do it in the heat of the you know when the sun's beating on you or something like that. You can do it like an hour or two a day.
The sun's beating on you all day.
Well, say that Rob's doing it by himself for the most part by himself. Maybe Sandra's helping a little. I don't think so, but maybe she's helping a little.
She's helping. Come on now.
I've seen her around camp. I don't think she's helping that much. Anyway, so I just think that if you have eight people work an hour a day, you could always improve the shelter. That's what I'm not saying you could build it like Rob, but you could have a night. Maybe, you could have a better shelter.
Maybe they do, and it's not compelling TV, just like this isn't compelling podcasting.
Well, I get it, but no, we see the shelter. It's the same crap shelter they have from the start. So anyway,
yeah. I don't know. Maybe Jack, whenever you get on set, and then you can do an interview and ask those kind of questions.
I will.
I look forward to it. All right, moving on. Elaine gets there, and she was like, you know, shut your face, holy trap, which I think Jay probably wishes that I would use those vernacular more often.
See, Colleen can't even put, like, sentences together. She doesn't get to put her swears in.
Yeah, well, you know, I'm from Long Island. We have a quota to meet, you know.
Mm-hmm. Got to keep it dirty at all times.
Yeah, you know.
And she pointed out to Rob that she has a Boston hat.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Is she from Boston?
No, she's from Kentucky.
She's from Kentucky. Yeah. Just Red Sox fans everywhere, man.
Yeah. You think but she has the heart of a lion and the strength of an ox.
I think they'd be a Reds fan, but I guess not.
Again, there's Red Sox fans everywhere.
Yeah, yes. They started out being Reds fans, and somehow it got lost in translation, and they ended up being Red Sox fans.
Well, the Red Sox do have a lineage to the Cincinnati Reds in that the Red Stockings, eventually the original Cincinnati Red Stockings moved to Boston and were the Boston Red Stockings, which then they folded, I think, and then the new American League Red Sox team took on that. So there is a lineage between the two.
Okay.
Not that anybody cared about that baseball history lesson.
No, that was fantastic.
Go Nationals.
No, that was great.
Even though they're losing right now, I think. Moving on.
1-0.
Moving on. Lane is ready to do the challenge without even knowing what it is. Rob said that being impulsive is a double-edged sword.
Sword.
Sword. I'm from Long Island.
Double-edged swords.
From Long Island. Leave me alone. She says, this is what I come for. I come for the experience. I'm not here for the $1 million. That'd be sweet, but I'm here for more than that. Turns out her mom...
not here just for the $1 million.
Right. Just for the million. Turns out her mom died 3 months ago.
She has the right attitude.
And she is looking for a soul-searching journey. Sandra, she's like, I love Elaine. She is balls to the wall. And we all know that Sandra loves that kind of player. So,
didn't she say a couple weeks ago that she was not going to last long or something, though?
Was it Elaine or was it Janet?
It was Elaine, I think.
Well, I guess now she's seen more and she likes
what
she sees.
Well, I think you can like somebody as a player just to watch them and
still think
they might lose.
Yeah. I mean, let's be honest. I love Elaine and she's probably not going to win, but like I stan her.
I don't know. Not according to the edit.
You never know. The challenge that she has, though, is to grab the advantage of the next challenge without anybody knowing. She only has one chance. If she fails, she loses her vote. And she's like, big stakes, but I love stakes. Yum, 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 yum.
Well, she took the thing before even knowing what was going on.
Good for her, though.
If she would have lost her vote, that would have been huge.
It would have.
Yeah.
She would have went home.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
Exactly. Okay, if she knew what the case was, if she knew ahead of time, would she have taken the challenge?
I still think so.
I think so, too. Oh,
because
my God. Are you kidding me?
It was so perfectly, and it was probably on purpose. It was so perfectly tied into what her tribe was facing, or at least the four in that kind of newly merged tribe, that you kind of have to take that chance. It's either that or draw rocks or it's going out. So I think you take that chance every time, from my perspective.
Would you have told the tribe, I mean, I know she told Elizabeth, but would you have told the tribe ahead of time, look, I have a chance to get an advantage to take away someone's vote. I have to get it's hidden under a table at the first. Let me get it.
Yeah.
Just tell her four, her, just tell Aaron and and Misty and Elizabeth, and don't tell the other tribe mates, though.
Right. I mean, we'll talk about that in a second, but this got to be like a big mess, right? It was so confusing.
Mm-hmm.
Elaine won Sandra over. We go back to Lyro, and we have the scene where Jack makes a very terrible joke about Jamal's do-rag, and they both feel, you know, not great about it, icky about it. So Jack apologizes, and Jamal explains...
To be fair, I've never said do-rag.
Jamal explains to him why it makes him feel bad. Badly. They talk it out later that night, even more so, and we have this great moment where Jamal teaches Jack about white privilege, and Jack, in turn, listens, and takes something away from the message, which I think was a great scene to have on Survivor. Which, you know, I really like this scene, and I'm very glad that, you know, they confronted something like that.
And had an open conversation, open ears, and was able to listen and hopefully learn and walk away a more educated individual.
Exactly. Like, and I love that Jamal got to even at the end say, "Here's why this makes me feel good," as previously not feeling like I was heard, and now I get a chance to explain, you know, my feelings. And I thought that whole thing was really great. Kudos to the Survivor editors, because when they could have easily taken a scene like that out, I'm sure we're all going to get some pretty awkward Jeff Probst questions about it at the reunion show, but let's all just enjoy the fact that...
Be honest, Jeff, I think it handled itself well tonight.
It did.
Yeah.
I don't think there's any need for Jeff to say anything, but I'm sure he will, though.
He will.
You know what? We'll have Jeff Varner come out, and then he'll...
Oh, God, no.
Yeah, ask some questions. Yeah, there you go.
I kind of thought... I was actually thinking that this was kind of like the anti-Varner moment.
Yeah.
But yeah, no, I really liked it. And you know,
because I think Jack realized right away he said something stupid.
Yep. Yeah. Which is good.
Yeah. But I'm glad that Jamal got the chance on national television to explain not only why he felt badly, but yeah, the whole thing. So kudos to the editors of Survivor for showing that. Again, Jamal hashtag winners edit. We go, and that's just a tip for you, Jay, when Karishma gets voted out on who you should switch to.
But she's not going to now. That's my penance, sir, picking her as my winner pick.
She's going to make it to the end.
I mean, I'm sure you're a lovely person in real life, but as a Survivor player, you're killing me.
Mm-hmm. What are we? Maybe 2 weeks away from the merge.
What are
maybe
we at? We're at episode 6, so 6 people have come out. I think we're probably 2 weeks away.
Yeah, so Jay, I don't think you have a chance.
That's fine. Whatever. All right, moving on.
Yeah. All right. We go over to Lyro. I'm sorry, to Vokai, and Elaine tells Elizabeth about Rob and Sandra because she knows that she's been there and knows what the deal is on Island of the Idols. So we finally get to see people acknowledge it.
Not people that haven't been there.
Doesn't matter, though. Like, now we've seen that two people that have been there are saying, hey, you know, oh, I know your secret, which we haven't seen so far. So I thought that was awesome.
But I want to see the scene where everybody realizes they're there and they look to the people that have been there and you didn't tell us.
I know. That's going to be so fun. Deliciously fun.
But I think as long as like a lot of people go, like eventually it'll be like a secret. Maybe only 5 people don't know. And then it won't be that much of a... You know, us versus them or something.
It'll be one person that doesn't know.
Yeah.
Right.
Karishma.
Oh, Karishma, she hasn't been there? She's been there.
No, she hasn't been there.
It'll be Dan.
Yeah.
I never got to touch Robert.
No, it's going to be Tommy, and he's going to be so mad.
Tommy's a teacher, right?
Yes.
Suck it up, Buttercup.
Anyway, she hopes this was very strategic of Elaine. So she tells Elizabeth because she also hopes that she can help like cover for her to get the advantage.
Oh, it was smart.
Yeah, I thought it was very smart. Again, like my winner's pick, everybody. My winner's pick. We go over to the immunity challenge, and
how many winner's picks do you have?
Oh, yeah, sorry. You have 100 winners.
No, I just have one winner's pick, and then another person that I think is getting a winner's edit as well as my winner's pick, who I also think is getting a very.
You know, I think everyone but Dan is getting a winner's pick, winner's edit. I think.
Nah. You think Aaron's getting a winner's edit?
No. He does have cool socks, though.
That is true. He does. He does. Jay, what you missed last week is Aaron has cool socks of his five-year-old, of his kid.
Yes, his five-year-old son.
Oh, fun.
Yeah.
Which shocked me because I don't think anybody's, has anyone ever done that before? Had a, like a shirt with their kid on it or something like that?
No, imagine the amount of like, you know, waivers and non-disclosures and whatever he had to sign for that.
But still, I think that's the cool, because you can't bring photos. So, yeah. You know, you can't bring your iPad and scan them. So, and, like we said last week, kids change so quick.
I would totally 100% do that, actually, now that I think, like, that'd be great.
Okay, you can only bring one picture of one of your kids. Which one do you pick?
Oh, man, that's tough.
I want to bring a picture of Zachary holding a picture of Alex.
Yes.
No, can't do it. No, it's only one kid. You can only get one kid.
Yeah, it's one kid with a picture of the other.
No, no. There can only be one kid in the photo.
Okay, I would bring a picture of Zoe. The cat.
So you'd be the crazy cat person that gets voted out first.
Well, you know, at least I got a free trip to Fiji or wherever.
She won't be the first, nor will that be the last.
Mm-hmm. Anyways, we go to the immunity challenge. Elaine gets the advantage, and then she drops it out of the back of her shorts. So she puts it in the front of her shorts. Brilliant.
Did you think at any point she was going to drop it again?
No. No, I think the one was stressful enough, and I was like, oh, she's got it now. But I was just like, no.
No, but I was nervous for her the rest of the challenge.
At first, she dropped it, and I was like, does she know she dropped it?
Yeah, yep.
I was that like, would have been, oh my God, pick it up.
Yeah, I also had that thought, like, oh, God, it's not there anymore. But luckily it was there. We also had a challenge with a lot of balls, but I didn't catch any inappropriate Jeff Probst comments, which made me real sad.
I had written down.
Ooh, what I missed.
It's going to be my initial name. Let's see. Lyro is working on their second set of balls. So I said, that's kind of out there. So
yeah, that's good. I think that qualifies.
Yeah.
Yeah. I like that one. But Lyro did make a comeback to win. So that was
great. Dean, Division One Dean.
Dean wasn't the one making the throws, though.
He made the winning shot.
He made the winning shot.
He made two. Another one.
Yeah. Hashtag Ding Dean Division One. So
should he have been shooting from the start?
Maybe. What were the rules? Did I miss the rules about that?
No, there was no rules.
Anyone could throw.
Maybe he just didn't have the range because some of those shots were really far away. So maybe Jamal felt he had more range on his shots.
Yeah, maybe. Or maybe.
I mean, either way, they won. They came back. Aaron looked like he just couldn't get the.
That one was tricky.
He was going too close and it was bouncing over. Yeah. You need to go a little higher.
Yeah. Kind of roll it in.
You know, I kind of would have loved to, you know, in Dodgeball, the Ocho, I would have loved to hear Jason Bateman and the other two's commentary on this.
It's a risky
challenge.
Move. It's a bold move, Cotton.
A bold move, Cotton.
Well, that was the guy. What's
usually you
name?
Need three people for this one.
That guy's in everything. Why can't we remember his name?
He's
literally in everything.
He's in a lot of stuff.
I know.
Including
Beep and.
Anyway.
Going on, moving on.
Vokai. So Tommy and Jason are having trouble watching the chickens being slaughtered. They watch. Good news for Jason. He doesn't have to watch that anymore. they want Elaine to go home. The trouble is that Missy and Aaron may vote with the other two. They tell Aaron about this, but he says he's with them. Everybody. But so now everybody knows and everybody wants to vote her out anyway. Lauren doesn't think that Elaine. I'm sorry. So Yeah.
Lauren didn't think she was smart enough.
Lauren didn't think she was smart enough to have an idler to play with them. Elizabeth wants to take out Lauren. Missy wants to take out Dan. Elaine wants Tommy out. It's an open live game. There's so much.
Well, Dan's kind of, he's still slimy. He's checking everybody's bag for idols and stuff.
Yeah, he was. That was, you know, I mean, she had receipts. She said she's seen him.
Yeah. So. Missy doesn't mess anything.
No, she does not. She really doesn't. I hope that she goes far into the game because I really enjoy Missy a lot.
I think she's getting a winner's edit.
You do? Did my tone not convey enough interest in your opinion?
No. it did not.
I like Missy, but I disagree about the winner's edit. But time will
tell. Yeah, she's getting a winner's edit. Whatever.
You give those things out like candy on.
I was briefly.
Yeah. It's like Ben's idols.
Oh God, I was briefly worried that Lauren was going to go home, just for
she's
a hot second.
Why she's my winner's pick?
I know she's your winner's pick. So, but I don't know, that whole scene was crazy. Do you guys think that? So I misunderstood this, and I know we'll talk about this. We'll go into tribal council. I assume that at the point that they left for tribal, every single person knew that Elaine had the advantage.
I did not. I didn't get that vibe at all.
I didn't either.
I was like, I think only the people on her tribe know that. Because I don't think Aaron let that slip.
No, he didn't.
Okay. So I misinterpreted that. Because I just assumed he went back.
Totally misinterpreted.
I did, which is good. It was very pleasant. Because
that would have been the one thing that would have told you he would have flopped or flipped.
Yeah.
Because he left that out.
Yep. Yep. So, but in tribal council, we have a great Rob line. He's selling Kool-Aid. They better not drink it.
Sandra, clapping too hard.
Yep.
But
Elaine.
Tommy's the guy that said, look, we got to stick together. You know, we go to rocks. Nobody wants to be known as the flipper. That's why we would need someone on their side. So he basically says the worst thing you do is flip. And then, but he wants someone on the other side.
Yeah, exactly. Maybe that's where it pivoted for Aaron, possibly.
Yeah.
I said that. I go, did you just hear what you just said?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Yep. Agreed.
Elaine continues to tickle Sandra with "Suck it up, Buttercup, and move on," which I am assuming that also tickled you, Jag.
It was funny.
Now everybody is supposedly willing to draw rocks, but Elaine pulls out her advantage, making Sandra and Rob so proud.
Can I say one thing though first?
Yes, please.
I've watched Survivor from the start, from the very start, and I don't think I've ever sat around eating donuts while watching Survivor.
Okay, you know,
that was weird.
Twitter was also upset with this, and my thing
is, really?
When is there a time that you shouldn't eat donuts? Because I could eat donuts all day and all night.
Yeah, I'm not saying you can't have donuts at night. I mean, I'll have donuts for a snack if I have donuts, but in the house. But I've never said. I mean, I can see popcorn, pizza, you know, any kind of snack food, but chips. But I don't think I'm sitting around having some donuts watching Survivor. I don't think anyone's ever done that. I'm saying it right now.
I would agree, or at least it's not common enough where that's the food you think.
Yeah, I mean, pretzels, I mean, you could name 100,000 snack foods. Donuts would not come up. So, Jeff, I don't know what you're thinking. I mean, maybe Jeff lives a different world.
Well, yeah. As Jamal taught us, Jeff does live in a different world. But that said, I love a good donut. And now I'm going to eat donuts while we watch the Survivor finale this season.
Sure, I guess.
I haven't had a good chocolate Entenmann's donut in, God, maybe 5 or 6 years. Let's make that happen for the finale.
It's been that long since a good chocolate Entenmann's donut?
Or any chocolate Entenmann's donut.
Had them a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man, you put them in the freezer? They're so good.
Yeah. I don't put them in the freezer. I put them in the refrigerator.
And then it's the only time I like cold milk is with an Entenmann's donut. And just like soak it up and it just like it captures all the milk inside the chocolate.
We talked about this on the broadcast and I love a good glass of milk.
So you freeze the donut? So I freeze my Milky Ways and Reese's.
I think freezing the donut's too much, but Colleen's kind of a weirdo. She's an outer burrower.
I like a donut, but I don't want to chip a tooth.
But
you don't
I think
chip a tooth. The inside is. I mean, whatever.
Again, it's kind of breaking it in half and then kind of dunking it in the milk, and then the milk kind of gets trapped inside the donut with the the chocolate shell and you spy in. All right,
you sold me. Next week, Jeff and I, Jeff's going to come over and we're going to have chocolate Enemy donuts and milk and watch Survivor.
We're going to do that for the finale, okay? I'm not even kidding. Somebody remind me.
Yeah, if it wasn't a thing before,
anytime
Jeff
says something inappropriate, like, you know, going for this, you have to dip it. Instead of taking a drink, you dip a donut in milk.
No, honestly, I'm shocked that there isn't like a hashtag right now on Twitter, you know, like Netflix and Chill, Survivor and Donuts. I think that is.
But really, I just thought that was the weird. I mean, obviously, the people that are starving there, they go, oh, donuts. Yeah, because, you know, you're hungry.
Yeah, but to be fair,
I go donuts.
Jay and I are like moaning for donuts right now. So clearly,
who moans for donuts?
I don't know. I'm just both like
that's a weird verb.
Duck donuts are the best, I would say.
Nah, I mean duck donuts are okay. I'd go.
You don't like duck donuts?
Duck donuts are okay.
But if you get the Krispy Kreme fresh off the assembly line, the old school one in downtown Raleigh,
that one's pretty good too.
But they're good, but I'm gonna have to go with, because Duck Donuts it just seems to be better.
And you know Rise Donuts? I'm sorry, it might not
Rise
be.
Are really
half of
good
them
too.
Aren't doing donuts anymore.
Rise?
Yeah, the
yeah, they've been pushing their corporate ones. They've been pushing their biscuit catering breakfast to those.
Well,
of
all
us
the
in
corporate
the,
locations yeah. aren't doing donuts anymore. It's only the franchisees that are still doing donuts.
That makes me sort of sad.
The CEO of Rise is in our building.
Oh, apparently he's anti-donut.
No, it's just he says it's harder to predict when customers buy donuts, so a lot waste. So it's just kind of a waste of expense.
They buy them
so.
At 8 p.m.
Yeah, he's selling them at the wrong time of night, baby.
Yeah, we now have predicted for him when the peak donut selling time is. I'll let him know tomorrow.
Because all these donut shops probably close like at 6 or 7, you know, thinking dinner time, you know. So now you got to be open up to like 7:55 so you can get those donuts for Survivor.
Well, Rise closes at 2 p.m.
Really?
Yes, I know this for a fact. Because sometimes at the beer bar, I go over there and it ends at 1 and I'm like, is there anything left for the last hour you're open? Anyway, okay. Tribal. Rocks. Donuts.
Go nuts.
Go nuts. Elaine wants to block. Speaking of nuts. Elaine has Jason's because she's blocking his vote. Everybody pretends to act shocked, which I guess they weren't pretending, but I thought that they were. Lauren cried. The whole thing was like kind of chaotic. And then at the end, I was convinced that they were all faking it. But Jason went home 4-3. And
I knew Elaine was safe because Jason wanted a fist bump from Aaron. He wouldn't give it to him.
Oh, yes. So it was that. And then once we got to 3 votes for Elaine and he didn't say the final person voted out, yeah. I was like, oh, the next 4 votes are going to be for Jason. I was really excited about that. So anyway, he gets up and he's all like, don't trust Aaron. Blah, 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 blah. And Aaron's like Aaron's like, whatever, dog. Like, I'm in the 4 now. But anyway,
why do you have to say that? Because everybody knew, the 3 people left knew they couldn't trust Aaron anymore.
Yeah, right?
Yeah, right?
It's like, you 4 are my friends for life. But
for
you
life,
guys,
man. I mean
hell.
It. Yeah.
Aaron's like going, I don't care.
I really love this episode, like start to finish.
Yeah, I've heard you think it's top 10.
I thought it was great. I thought it was a really great episode. Maybe a top 10 for modern Survivor.
I'm putting in top 9 of all time, just so I can be one up on Colleen.
I'm going to put in my top 11.
Womp womp. I mean, we had a crotch idol. It was great.
But it wasn't an idol. It was just a
crotch advantage.
Whatever, yeah.
Have we ever had
and Jeff didn't get to touch it. She just read it.
Right? Do you want it, Jeff? No, I'm good.
No.
I see the dailies. I know
a dozen donuts.
All right. That is it for the episode. And any final thoughts before we go into listener feedback?
No, I don't know if you know, but I really enjoyed this episode.
That's what I've heard. Mm-hmm. Well, that's what I've heard. All right. Well, let's go into some listener feedback. Here we go.
All right. Our first bit of feedback is from Victoria.
Victoria.
And she says, hello, everyone. I'm happy to be back. I had a crazy school workload these last 2 weeks. I heard the podcast and I missed you guys as well. Now on to Survivor. I'm enjoying the season so far. Sure, I'm not a huge fan of the Island Idol, but Island of the Idols. No, yeah, the Idol Island, sorry. But this season has everything that I love. There's obvious goats, there's obvious threats, and those who play overplay the game. Then there are those who are just bat-ass crazy, and those who stay low-key but are holding on to idols. The only thing missing is a crying vegan.
I did think about that when they cut the chicken's head off.
I know. I was waiting for the two guys to be like, you know, we can't eat this chicken. But it didn't happen.
Then they had to show all the feathers.
Yes.
I'm like, wow, that's harsh.
Mm-hmm. Survivor went deep this episode. Anyway, Victoria continues. I love when Elaine said that she's a little busted can of biscuits.
Yeah, that I almost used that name too.
Yeah, I thought that was going to be the episode title. Like, that was perfect. A little busted can of biscuits. It has to be the best line of tonight's show. I'm surprised that the producers think the audience is that dumb to believe that Rob and Sandra built the shelter. LOL. See?
I believe it.
Do you think that's a top 10 line? Going back to the biscuit thing, top 10 line of all time.
It's a pretty good line. It's like it's right up there with like you do you boo boo, which Jay and I still say to each other. So.
Or I don't know what that was all about, but stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan.
Stick to the plan. Stick to the plan.
Yeah. All I gotta say is stick to the plan.
Yeah, that was a pretty great one too. Anyway, as a mixed military brat, I loved the discussion that Jamal and Jack had. It's so hard for me to grow up in Europe where we as Americans stuck to a code of unity and then come back to the States and immediately see the division of races, social class, and even gender. For Jack to recognize his labeling and feeling the hurt of Jamal almost brought me to tears. What?
Definitely teals.
Whatever. The next sentence right below that has an exclamation point. So I saw that and whatever. Okay. she says, Elaine, no! Exclamation point, exclamation point, exclamation point. She approached Aaron and then told them her advantage before she made sure that they were with us. But wow, what a great tribal. I love this game, man. Victoria.
Good to have you back, Victoria. Victoria!
Toria.
You know you have the answers.
Toria. Anyway, yeah. I can't disagree with anything that Victoria had to say. We miss you and we're glad to have you back.
All right. Any other feedback?
Nope, that was it.
All right.
What?
Well,
nothing from Mandy?
No, but I think her daughter has softball this time of year or something like that.
Okay.
Did you guys pick in my absence last week? Or?
We sure did.
Okay.
John did, and John almost swayed me his way. I said, "That's a very obviously you're not Jay because you thought about it.
It was well thought out.
Well, let's
and,
see.
And made sense too. I don't know if he won or not because I can't remember.
Jason went home. Colleen, you get the point. You're the only one that said pre-merge. Jack and I both said merge. So good for you, Colleen. What?
Go me. Go me. Go
did I have Dean?
You had, let's see, I think you did have Dean going home, but let me double check. I'm swinging this point in for Colleen, tally point for Colleen. Episode 6, Colleen said Dean, so nothing. John, in my stead, chose Janet. Damn it, Janet. Did not go. And Jack, you picked Karishma.
He's like, I don't remember that. Does it count if you don't remember?
I almost switched because John convinced me that Janet would be the one to go home if they lost.
He had a good reasoning for it, too.
What was his reasoning? I didn't listen.
It was because they don't need, whatever it was highly well thought out. I was just thinking about donuts.
Of me not having high thought out or good thoughts, it's my turn to pick first. And I'm going to go, I don't think it's merge yet. I think Karishma, please. Sweet dear Jesus. This is more. I need her to go so I can pick another player. Colleen. No, I'm sorry. Jack, your pick.
This is tough because you really expect Lyro to lose because they usually do.
I know, right?
But I think losing Jason hurt them on the other tribes. I think he was good in the challenges, especially with puzzles and stuff. So I'm going to go with, I think Tommy goes home.
So I I was going to say Tommy, but now for the sake of not agreeing with you, so we can get some like point things going on here, I will change it. So I was going to say Tommy, but...
go with your gut. If Tommy's what you want, go with Tommy. No, then you'll both get a point.
I know, but I need to play to like get ahead of Jack.
If you're
I...
only one behind.
Yeah,
and my winner's pick, I don't think is going to win. Lauren, I mean, we first time we heard her speak was today.
This is true. But that said, I am playing to get ahead of Jack. So I need to, I can't just trail behind him.
It's still early in the game. You need points regardless.
Look, Aaron, you don't have to think that far ahead.
Well, that's true. So I'm thinking if Lyra loses, it's going to be Nora, right? Because at some point, Nora's got to... go. And if Vokai loses, I think it would probably be Tommy, right?
Yep.
All right. Well, I'm going to go with Nora. I'm going to say that Lyra loses.
All right.
So I'm going to pick Nora for like my 15th straight week here.
Well, looking at the tally game, Jack started out with a commanding lead, but he's tied with me currently with 3 tallies each.
And I lost a tally, too. We got to remember that.
Yes, you did. And Colleen, you are very close behind with 2. So it's a tight, tight tally game for this season of Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen.
That makes it I think that makes it interesting.
It does. It does.
Yeah. Whoever wins gets the Golden Donut Award.
And we all have our winner's pick still in the game.
All right. That'll do it for this week's Survivor with Jay, Jack, and Colleen. If you like this show, give us a call at 385-309-0311.
Calling time.
Also send an email to survivorjjc@gmail.com.
I was letting you do it.
Our Facebook group at facebook.com/group/JandJackGroup. Check out our website. We got a lot of stuff on there, including our Patreon.
What did you just say?
Check out our website. Change go to hell, all of you.
Was it? Wow. Did you also feel his tears?
Yeah. I don't hear anything from you slurs around here. But anyway, yes, jandjack.com. Become a patron today. All of our podcasts are made possible by your contributions, our lovely patrons. And I want to especially thank Taffer Tokyo, Eckhart Richter, Maggie the Magnificent, Joanne with the Plan, Drake the Destroyer, and Ed the Creepy Mailman. If you use Amazon, use our link, jandjack.com/Amazon. And, yeah, I think that's everything, right, guys? So we'll see you next week.
Thank you to the patrons that contribute at a certain level.
I already did that.
Oh.
Thanks for listening to me.
I just did it. I was making the post so I could get it up as soon as we were done.
Anyways, until next time.
Hey, someone just said a Jeff Probst.
Until next time, hasta luego and goodbye.
Peace out, everybody.
Bye.